Hello, you are listening to Season 6 of Record of Change, a podcast that tracks the changes in societies and individuals' lives around the world during the COVID-19 pandemic. My name is Anhui Trans, and I am a researcher in Germany, and I am going to be your host for this episode. Have you ever heard of pandemic pets? Yes, you heard it right. Pandemic pets. Just like pandemic babies, they are the pets that appear in many people's lives during the pandemic, as people find themselves spending more time at homes. In this episode of Record of Change, let's explore the different aspects that lie behind this new phenomenon. So for this episode of Record of Change, I am not going to present alone. Rather, I'm going to have a co-host who is as enthusiastic about pet as I am. So here we are with Pratap.
Hey guys, hi Hui. Tell us what's today's episode about.
We are going to focus on pandemic pets. What do we mean by pandemic pet? These are the pets that people either buy or adopt during the pandemic time. So basically since 2020. And one of the reasons why we are interested in this particular topic is that, well, not only because we are both very passionate about animals and pets, we both have pets, but also because of the multiple layers that this phenomenon has. Because when we are talking about pets, it's not just about pet being adopted or being bought during the pandemic, but also pet who are abandoned because of the pandemics. When I first got to know about this topic, it was you, Pratap, who sent me some news article about the phenomenon. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, obviously, I've also been obsessed with things happening around the COVID-19 pandemic, how our lives have been slowly shifting, how our lifestyles have been shifting. One thing I noticed was that people have been adopting and buying up pets during the pandemic, because we were all locked down in our own homes, and a lot of us were on our own. So we didn't know what to do with ourselves with so much time in hand. So, and people needed companionship. So people started getting pets, all fair and good. But later during the pandemic, when things started opening up, when they had to go back to work, they did not know what to do with these animals. So they were abandoning them, or they were sending them to shelters. So I started reading these stories about this particular phenomenon. And that's when you brought the pandemic pets idea to our pitch meeting. What made you bring that idea? Because you got an animal, a pet animal? Is that why you brought it?
Yeah, I mean, it is from personal experience, because I myself also have two pandemic pets. I have two parrots or parakeets at the beginning of this year. And then I have thought a lot about whether this is the time for me to have pets or not, because as you have known, or as many of you might have known, that having a pet is a huge commitment, and especially with pets that have long life expectancies. And for me, at least, because I work at home a lot, during 2020 and 2021, I was very, very happy with having my pets. But at the same time, I also am aware of the limitations of having pets. And I think a lot of people who ended up having pets during the pandemics without thinking about it that much before also realized that how big a commitment it is for having a pet. And for example, I can not really plan my travel very freely now, because who are going to take care of the parrots? And they cannot be alone for so long. And even if it is just a day trips from the morning until the evening, it is also now a challenge for me. So it takes a lot of freedom out of my life. But at the same time, I am happy to have that freedom taken away. But I am also aware that there are many people who are not. And then that is why I am very interested in this particular phenomenon. And I think what we are trying to do in this episode is to provide kind of like deeper insights on why this kind of phenomenon happened. and the actors that involve in such phenomena, what do they think about this particular phenomenon of pandemic pets? So Pratap and listeners, I want to introduce you to this particular interview with a representative of an animal shelter in Berlin, Germany.
Let's listen to what Beatrice has to say.
My name is Beate Kaminski, and I'm now in my 10th year working at the Berlin Animal Shelter, which is probably the biggest in Europe. We have like 1,300 animals that we care for at the moment. And I do press work. I give interviews, as you can see and hear. I do some graphic design and photos. A lot of editorial stuff, so, and a lot of social media, of course. We're quite growing quite quickly. So, there's always a lot to do to advertise our animals and our work, basically.
Since the start of the COVID pandemic, there have been a trend in people adopting more animals or like more pets as they are spending more time at home. Have you seen this change in your line of work or in Germany?
Yeah, definitely. First, I want to say that, of course, there's a huge amount of people that are good adopters or buyers from breeders. And there are a lot of responsible breeders out there. And I know that, and we all know that. But aside from that, we have really seen a huge rise in the demand of people for pets, which is basically not a bad thing. Everybody, of course, know how good it is and how beautiful it is to be welcomed by a pet when you come home, to have a dog or a cat or whatever your kind of pet is. But the sudden situation of the pandemic seems to have surprised many people with loneliness and lack of things to do outside. As we remember with the first lockdown, especially families were lacking possibilities of going out. And there is, of course, a part who really thought about it like way before and said, okay, now is just the right time because my boss, for instance, would allow me to go into home office, which would allow me to get a dog comfortable, to get used to one another. And then when once home office is finished, he will, of course, stay with me and everything's just fine. It's just the perfect transition time. But then there's obviously this huge amount of people who think of pets as a short-term fun and an activity that you can just get home, you can cuddle with it, play with it, and have fun with it. And once you don't need it anymore, you can get it back just like any other thing, just like a product that we buy in a supermarket. And we especially have found this to be the reason for an extremely high number of illegal puppy trade sales. So alone, just in this year, 2021, we took in, I think, more than 120 puppies, which came from illegal trade. So there's one thing where you have shelters and responsible breeders, of course, which is totally fine. But on the other side, there's this huge market for illegal puppy sale. And of course, if you imagine like hundreds and thousands of people just all of a sudden wanting puppies, for instance, and responsible breeders and animal shelters just have a certain amount of dogs, puppies, whatever size or age, then there's this gap that needs to be filled. And these criminals, let's just face it, it's criminals, try to fill that gap and have really established a market with it and make thousands and thousands of euros by selling badly produced, this is the right word, produced puppies that are barely able to survive. And we took in, as I said, around 120 so far this year. Some of them died. Some people abandoned them here who bought them before and who have no money for their treatment. And it's a really, really, really bad situation. So one big thing is the puppy trade, and another is something like small animals like rabbits and mice and hamsters. So everything that seems to be cuddly and seems to be nice for families, I'd say.
I think that is a very, very important issue that you have just presented. Basically, on the surface, what we have known so far, especially on the media, is that there was a rising trend in adopting animal. But the side effect of the black market and then the increase in illegal trading of puppies or pets. You also mentioned that there have been a lot of puppies that got brought to the shelter from these kind of like illegal tradings. So these people brought the pets to the shelters because they couldn't take care of them anymore or because there were some legal problems. What were the main reasons that they brought the puppies that they have just bought to the shelter?
They find their way to us in different ways. Most of them were actually brought to us by police or authorities, which is called Veterinäramt. And the other side is indeed people who bought them off the internet, off eBay Kleinanzeigen, some websites where you can just easily trade, something like that. And they bought them on goodwill. They didn't know about this problem. They got handed a puppy far too young to be separated from its mother. And mostly they got an injection the same day to appear in good health and fit, which lasts for a day. So when you got handed the puppy, it looks quite okay and healthy and happy. And by the end of day two, mostly it's totally changed. So they go to some vet or into a vet clinic and pay, I don't know, 1,000 euros. And then the money is gone. They can't afford it anymore. And they go here and say, okay, we can't pay it anymore. We can't afford this sick puppy anymore. Please take care of it. And that's it. But that is the difference between pet sellers and selling pets. I don't want to say everybody who sells pets is bad, but that's the difference. As an animal shelter, you don't go for commerce. It's not about the money. It's about finding the right pet for the right person. So you will be made aware of what it takes. But unfortunately, there's always people outside who think, okay, better no questions asked. I want the pet I want. I don't want anyone to talk me through it. So they rather pay more than, yeah, get a good talk to someone who really knows about it. But I heard a few weeks or months ago, I heard that in Berlin, there's like 6,000 or 7,000 more dogs since the pandemic. So this number is in no way from responsible breeders or animal shelters. So there is this big, huge gap and this big, huge market. And unfortunately, when I see, and I see a lot of them, when I see a puppy, especially certain breeds on the streets, I can't be happy anymore because I never know where they came from. That's actually sad because I can't share the joy of people mostly because I think, what is the price of this puppy? What is the story behind it? That's why I'm always happy about everyone who at least goes to a responsible breeder or to a shelter, of course, or just wait a bit. I mean, having a pet is not like, some people expect like it's Friday afternoon, 3:30, and they think about having a pet and they want to have the pet by 5 p.m. And it's sad. And we really hope that we can raise awareness about that because it's like more like a partnership, a friendship, a family member. And a cat or a dog can like reach an age of 20 years. Reptiles can be much, much older. So you need to be aware of that. And it's not a thing. It's a being and people shouldn't forget about that.
With that in mind, what advices do you have for people who want to adopt, let's say, a pet during this pandemic time?
Just think first, of course, think about it. Is it really a thought that you have as well without the pandemic? Like, I wouldn't say don't adopt during the pandemic. Who knows how long it will take? Who knows? So just think about, first things first, would you adopt as well if it wasn't for the pandemic? The best would be the answer is yes. If the answer is no, but you say, of course, now I have the time to introduce the pet into our family. Like the cat can get to know us in the first few weeks. And once we get back to work, she feels so at home, which is fine, which is a good thought. But that would be the first thing. Second thing is really take care of people who sell animals on certain sites. You can always check if someone is in a breeder's organization. We have in Germany, we have some where you can just ask, do you know this breeder? Or just check the internet or ask the local authorities or us. And even in Facebook groups, you find a lot of hints if someone is serious or not. Mm. And then once you're not sure, get someone involved that knows about it. And most of all, I would say give it time and room and trust. Time, because it is, as I said, not a product that you can just get at the time you want. We really should be sure about it because it's, as I said, no product. The problem is that many people act before they get information, and then the shelters are the ones who have to solve the problem for them. And unfortunately, we do, I have to say, because we don't let animals suffer. So we step in and people are happy again and the pets are, sick or lonely, whatever. So
when you talk about pet adoptions during the time like this, there are so many uncertainties. But I think you are completely right. We should not let these uncertainty stop us from being responsible pet owners or pet adopters.
Thankfully, we still have a lot of adoptions. We actually closed due to Corona, but we changed our adoption system more to a digital one. So we try to have as many pets as possible that are available for adoption on our website, which works quite well. So after the first lockdown, or when people could go out again, out in clubs, yeah, or the restaurants reopened, then they got many, many pets inside. So it's not returns, because these pets weren't from us, because we really try to see people through as good as we can, at least to see, are they serious about this? So all these pets were from, wherever. Illegal trade, private selling, breeders maybe as well. We don't know, from all over. And they are all like gathering together here at the animal shelter. And we have, I think, doubled the number of those pets compared to 2 years ago, let's say.
Thank you so much for shedding a lot of insights on this story. And then even though this is the dark side of the stories, I still hope that our conversation today would raise the awareness of how important it is to be responsible with the commitments with the pets.
And maybe we can just point the finger at the fact that it is not a bad thing to adopt pets from a shelter. There are so many different varieties of pets waiting there. Like I always say, everyone will find their pet there if they give it trust, time, and room. And on top of that, you mostly pay less, especially when it comes to puppies. You like pay a fifth of what you would pay outside an illegal trade for a puppy. Plus, you get really good service. You get someone who takes care of you, even if you leave us with the pet. You can ask questions. We can visit you and see if everything's all right. So you get papers, you get the pets get microchipped. So you get a whole lot of service for free, basically, on top, all included in the adoption fee, which is always the same. It doesn't differ for breeds or what else. I mean, we could, with a certain breed, we could make a huge amount of money, which we don't, because they're all the same for us. So maybe people should just use it as a chance and see it as a chance, and that they get some pets from the animal shelter where people know about them. And it's just a nice feeling on top.
Ms. Beata Kaminski, thank you so much for your time again.
I already knew this in some form or another, but it was still shocking to know that animals are so easy to own. You just have to go online, and sometimes people buy animals on eBay Kleinanzeigen, eBay Classifieds. And that was really shocking. And how commoditized the entire thing is, it was really shocking to hear from her.
What I found very interesting and new information for me is that the pandemic has led to the emergence of a total new illegal animal trade market. I think that is a byproduct of the pandemic that we have not seen or we have not heard about that often. And then that was very, very new to me.
I have a feeling they always existed and they have exacerbated in the past.
Exactly. Yeah, I have the same
feeling. Demand has gone up like crazy, yeah.
Yeah, because we have heard that the animal shelters also go through a very, very detailed procedures for choosing the adoptees, right? And then there are people who cannot wait for that long and then they want a quicker process of getting a pet. And then there is a niche for this.
And we also have to mention this is particular to mature economies like Germany. In other countries, things are much worse. We need to, you know, point that out. But not all is gloom and doom. We do have happy stories. We do have people who decided to adopt pets during the middle of the pandemic and continue to live with them. We're going to listen to one of the stories. And I want to also point out one particular thing. I've been living in Germany for a few years now, and I've always had dogs, but I don't own a dog. I partially take care of a dog, sharing a dog's responsibility with the dog's owners. And this concept is called dog sharing. That's how I found this next interviewee, Anika. I found her in Frankfurt, and she had just adopted a dog. And this was May last year, I think. She mentioned that in the interview. And then she was looking for people with whom she can share the responsibilities of the dog. The dog is called Nala. So yeah, let's move on to Anika's interview with me. You got Nala in 2020, right? May 2020, you know, last year.
Yes, right, in May.
Yeah, can you tell me the circumstances under which you got Nala? Were you always looking for a dog or how did it come about?
So I grew up with the dog and when I left home for studying, I left my dog. And since then, I always wanted a dog for my own again. But, you know, like working the whole day and I'm a sports scientist, so I am always somewhere where I can't take a dog with me. So I couldn't have a dog. But I was always thinking about it. And then in March 2020, Corona came and I was sent to home office. And then I think in April, they told me that they don't expect me to come back before the end of 2020. So I thought, okay, that's my chance to get a dog and to find a way to have a dog and to meet people who care for her when I'm back at work. And so, yeah, I started looking for a dog, in April. And then in May, I found her in the internet.
Okay. I wanted to ask you this dog sharing thing. Did you know this existed? Did you know dog sharing existed before you got Nala?
Actually not. I know that there is kind of a dog sharing, but I did not know that there is a like a platform or really a big community where you can search for people. So at the moment, I decided that I have a dog, so I'm looking for one. I started searching for ways how to find someone to share her, because it was clear to me that I couldn't do it just by myself.
So did it become clear to you after you got Nala or before you got her? Did you already know that it would be too much responsibility?
Already before.
Okay.
Because I know myself very well, and I know I like a lot of things where I couldn't take her, like the cinema, the swimming pool, these things. And just, you know, I like having time just for myself, doing just the things I like. So, no, to me, it was clear that I was looking for people to share her for 2 days, 3 days per week.
Excellent.
To have some time for myself.
Excellent.
Do the things I like. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So how did you find Nala in the first place? Well, you said on the internet, was it from a shelter? How did you go about getting Nala home? Can you explain the process to me?
Actually, I was looking for a dog for a long time. Just, you know, I was always thinking about having a dog. And then sometimes there were moments where I said, okay, now I tried to do it, and then I got scared and I left the idea. But I found, I think 5 years ago, maybe on homepage, it's called tiervermittlung.de. And there you find dogs from everywhere, from shelters, from private persons. You can collect where you want to look, just from private persons or just the puppies, just older dogs. And I like that idea because I know that I wanted a girl and I wanted a dog which is middle age, not a puppy, but not too old. And you can look for that on that website. So I was looking on that website with the things I just said, around 3 or 4 years old.
So your employer told you that now we're in this pandemic, so we don't expect you to come into work every day till the end of the year. And you were going to take this dog up. There's no social life. This dog is going to be with you all the time. How did you feel?
I just couldn't believe it. It was just, oh, God, I got a dog. I found that every day she got a little bit more connected to me. And so that was, that was beautiful to see.
Did you have to go through any lifestyle changes for the dog? Did you have to do any sacrifices?
For example, my best friend, she got 2 cats. Mm-hmm. So from that moment on, I can't visit her anymore at her home because Nala love cats to chase them. So, and the cats don't like the dog as well. So it was a big difference, because until then I was always visiting her. So from now on, she has to visiting me. So, and the same things like if I want to go to the cinema or at the beginning to the shopping mall or something like that, I couldn't take her. So I always had to see if I'm, just leave for 1 or 2 hours, not more, because she was not used to that. Or take her with me. But then, it has to be a place where I can take her with me.
So. At any point, did you feel like, okay, this is getting a little too much for me. I don't think I can manage her. Maybe I have to give her back. Did you think about any of that? Did you have that moment?
Yeah, sometimes.
You do? Okay. Can you talk to me about that?
But, at that moment, I'm looking at her and she's looking at me. It's gone.
Okay.
But sometimes I really feel like it's quite tiring sometimes. That's true. But meanwhile, I have a real good network. So I can always say like, oh, no, today is Saturday, but I'm feeling like going to the sauna for 4 or 5 hours and just relax. So I have people who helping me and telling me, okay, I'll take Nala for that time.
That's great. You have a network. Okay, that's good. And all these people who take care of Nala, have they been your friends all along or did you find them on dog sharing?
Yeah, no, I met new people. So that is great too. I met beautiful new people like you, like Katya, where's Nala now? And they became friends, but I did not know them before.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that Anika is now very happy with Nala. And I think it was a very, very natural and gradual process of realizations about the commitment and the responsibility of having a pet by your side. And especially when the decision to have a pet comes very quickly, because it was in the middle of the pandemic, things happened so fast. And then you thought, oh, this is the best time to have a pet. Yeah. In the very foreseeable few months in the future, I don't have to go to office, then maybe it's the right time. But I'm very happy that even though the decisions of Anika to have Nala, I know that she has always been wanting to have a dog. But then, finding the right time, the right moment was a fast decision. But I am very happy that now they are an indispensable and inseparable pair.
Inseparable, yeah. Well, there's also this thing to consider. If Anika hadn't found dog sharing, it may have been difficult. So I'm incredibly appreciative of concepts like dog sharing. And it's a privilege.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, again, it's only available in certain countries. I don't think this app exists across the world. So hopefully it will spread. It'll go spread across the world and more people can find help online with their pets, much more than just dog sitting. People can, you know, share responsibilities partially with other willing and interested volunteers or like partial dog owners as well.
You are completely right. We actually don't know without this platform how many of the pets actually would have to go back to animal shelters. We actually don't know. So I think it is a very, very good invention and platforms that people can make use of. Yeah, but the story that I am going to share with you now is about a couple in Tokyo, in Japan, who rescued a dog in the beginning of 2021. So it was during the pandemic as well, but it was not a rushed decision. That was the decisions that they have always been planning for. I think the pandemic, even though had very, very many negative consequences on various people's lives around the world, for this particular couple, the pandemic brought them the main source of happiness in their daily life, which is the dog that listened to their journey and how their relationship with their dogs have been growing during the pandemic.
Let's get into it.
My husband and I live in Tokyo, and we've always wanted a dog, but we had a really nice apartment that we loved in central Tokyo that doesn't allow pets. So we always thought, you know, eventually when we get a place that's more permanent, you know, we will. And that ended up happening. And it was just a matter of finding the right time. And then a year into the pandemic, it's kind of like, well, the reason we like where we're living is because we have easy access. We can walk places. We can go to restaurants. We can go to all these different neighborhoods in central Tokyo and then, except now we can't because everything's closed or we don't feel safe going somewhere, even if it's open. Why are we sitting here being bored without a dog when instead we could move and go somewhere where there's a little more nature, where we can get outdoors because there's fewer people, and also we can have a dog. So it kind of was just like, okay, I think the time is now. We got a house, then we moved, and yeah, we were able to get a dog, you know, even sooner than we initially thought we would be able to. So like for us, it wasn't a spur of the moment decision.
Yeah.
It was something we had been planning for a long time, and we were kind of just waiting for the right time. And I guess one of the silver linings, if you can say, about the pandemic is like, well, you know, what other time is there going to be?
Yeah.
So now we have adopted a dog named Midna, and she's 2 years old, and she's a girl, and she's a rescue that we adopted from another prefecture called Tochigi. And she's a mix of Shiba, Akita, Beagle, a Japanese dog called a Chin, and a German Shepherd. And she is basically the cutest dog in the world.
Was the process of adopting more difficult because of the pandemic?
I can't 100% say for sure since I've never tried to adopt a dog here outside of the pandemic, but I will say that there were some hiccups, and in Japan, you can't just go to a shelter to meet dogs. Well, there are some shelters, but they don't allow the public to come
anytime they want. They just have special events when people can come. And then most animals are kept in foster care because there's just not enough space in shelters to keep them all. So there's a lot of online forums specifically for dogs that need adopting. So I was looking at that and, you know, we found Binda's profile and, I mean, her name was Marilyn at the time, her temporary name, like Marilyn Monroe because she's so beautiful.
Blonde girl.
And her pictures were so adorable and the description of her personality just really seemed like she would be a good fit for our family. So I just thought I would at least try. You know, it ended up, we were able to go meet her in person. So we traveled to meet her, asked to have her as a trial adoption, and the foster mom agreed. Soon after we did that, and then the government issued a state of emergency, and that means that they ask, please don't travel between prefectures. So we kind of had lucky timing with that because we went to see her and then she came to our home before that happened. The initial trial adoption was 2 weeks, and normally after that time, the foster mom would come back and we would finalize the adoption with signing some paperwork and then paying an adoption fee. That ended up not happening until 2 weekends ago. So even though, you know, we had agreed that we would be adopting her and it was technically official, we didn't get to sign the paperwork and make it legally official until just recently because of the pandemic. So that definitely, I think, was abnormal.
Aside from that, was there any negative effects that the pandemic had?
I guess the only other thing is definitely when we take her to the vet, vets are also being very cautious. So only one parent is allowed to go in with her, basically, since they want to limit the number of, you know, humans in the smaller space. But honestly, I think the one negative that she's suffering from, it's very slow to get her acclimated to spending time alone at home.
Right.
And so now I still, you know, work from home, so that's great for her. But, you know, she does need to learn to play independently. And that's something that she struggles with. So if the pandemic hadn't been happening, I think we would have been able to, like, introduce her to being alone sooner.
We have just listened to a positive stories about pandemic pets. And thank you to Sarah and Midna for sharing with us their thoughts and their very, very wonderful journey. So throughout the three conversations that we have just listened to, I think we have had a handful of perspectives on this particular phenomenon of pandemic pets. What are your takeaways, Prata?
Consider your circumstances, consider your life, consider everything before getting a pet. And good to get a dog from a shelter.
We have been repeating and repeating again throughout this episode that having a pet is a huge responsibility and commitment. And because it is a huge responsibility and commitment, we do think that there should be a lot of thought being put into such kind of big decisions in your life. So pets are living beings. They have emotions. And then please just don't treat them as just something that you can easily buy, or is just another good that you can trade or you can play with for a short period of time. Thank you, Pratap, for joining me.
Thank you, Hui.
In this episode. And we hope that the perspectives that we have been providing you in this episode might help you to either have a better relationship with the pets that you have already adopted during the pandemic, or really considers getting a pet, or reconsiders your decisions of getting a pet. And we'll see each other again, hopefully soon, in the next episodes of Record of Change.